He is sanctifying us. We are new creations. He began a good work and will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. And you have two choices. You can do it easy or you can do it hard. But rest assured, you're going to do it. And the reason we're going to do that is because God is unchanging.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's today's message.
Our speaker today is Don Vino. Very glad to have him speaking with us here today. He's actually not a guest from outside coming in. He's a part of our church family. He and his wife, Joy, are part of our church family here. And Don is the president of Midwest Christian Outreach. It is a Christian apologetics and discernment ministry. Now, you know, the apologetics, that's the answering questions about the faith, defending the faith. But discernment is about keeping an eye on within the faith, you know, that sometimes some things, some bad ideas and that can creep into the church, and we need to exercise discernment. So they do that as well. It's also a ministry then of outreach then to people who are involved in cults and false religions as well. And so we say that Don and his wife Joy, they're missionaries. They're missionaries to a very confused culture, but also sometimes, unfortunately, missionaries to the church, right? And so we are glad to have Don come and speak to us today then. So Don, welcome.
It occurred to me a couple of days ago as we entered a new year and a new decade that about a year from now I will have 20/20 hindsight. It gets worse from here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given to us, the time to gather as a family of faith to encourage one another, to be challenged by your word, and to learn from you how to live in a difficult culture that we exist in. Lord, we just seek your guidance this morning, that your spirit would move within us and speak to our hearts and our minds. In Christ's name, amen. If you need our contact information, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter. We have a YouTube channel where every week we have our live webcast, and we pick on pretty much everybody as we have our opportunity. And, of course, our website, Midwest Christian Outreach, Inc. About 10 minutes into a sermon, a young pastor noticed his son, young son, up on the balcony with the pea shooter. And the lad would lean over from time to time, take careful aim, and pop people in the head with a pea. Pastor was about to publicly scold his boy. About the time he prepared, he looked up and the young 7-year-old shouted out, "You keep preaching, Dad, I'll keep him awake." Sometimes it feels like we need to do that. I didn't bring a young lad with me. I thought about bringing a straw and giving it to Frank back there, Tony back there, was unable to do that. I thought I would give you a little bit of a confession this morning. I don't like change. I have routines. I have traditions, which I do almost every day, unchanged. I eat the same thing for breakfast. I pretty much wear the same clothes through the course of the week. I have my routine when I get up and I do everything exactly the same, and I get irritable when change is requested of me. Some years ago, Joy had a smartphone, one of the early editions of that, and she thought I would really love it because she really loved it. And so from time to time, she would say, "You need to get a smartphone." And I said, "I don't really want to get a smartphone. I like my flip phone. All I need to do is make phone calls," and I could make phone calls because I had the numbers memorized. I can't do that anymore because the memories are like number two or number, and I don't even have to know the number. I just have to look at the face in my little scroll dump and go, "Jennifer, there's her face," and I call the number. So I was not thrilled with the idea of getting a new phone. In fact, I thought what I really needed was a particular kind of a flip phone that had a dial on it. Then I would have been really happy.
I do too.
Yeah. There's more. There's kinsmen here that don't like change. About 13 years ago, I had a somewhat traumatic experience. In less than a week, we moved to Wonder Lake, to a new house we had purchased and closed on. We bought a new car. So in the same week, I had a new house, new address, new car. And I got a smartphone. I was terribly traumatized, so much so that Joy and one of our associates had to take my smartphone, make it work, put in the numbers, all that kind of stuff to make it operate, because I was too irritable trying to figure out how this thing works. My kids, in fact, say that I am so habit-driven that I am CDO. Listen to those letters, CDO. It's like OCD, except the letters are in order like they should be. So with all of that, you might understand my nervousness when Pastor Dan got up a few weeks ago and said, we're going to be talking about change at Wonder Lake Bible Church. And I went, change? I don't know if I can handle that. Most of us, in fact, don't like change. It's uncomfortable. It inconveniences us. Society and culture even change, and we chafe at the change. We don't like to see what's going on in culture. We don't like to see what's going on in schools. We don't like to see our values challenged. It makes us uncomfortable. A famous philosopher who I really like, George Carlin, once said, "Just as I discovered the meaning of life, they changed it." And often it really does feel that way. I did a little bit of research on generational changes, or at least what we perceive as generational changes. You know, we've heard the stories from our parents, and occasionally we may have even told stories about, in my day when we went to school, we had to walk uphill both ways in the snow. And so as I did some looking around, I came across a photo of that field. There's the path to school. Of course, there are observations on how young people change from generation to generation. You like that? That was your path, wasn't it?
No, it was my mother's.
Your mother's path, okay. Observations on children from an adult goes like this. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not servants of the households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers. Wow. That comes from Socrates, who lived 469 to 399 BC, as quoted by Plato. As individuals react to change differently, some thrive on change, others over-dramatize change, and, as in my case, some tend to resist change. But things in this life change. We adapt to them, we learn to live with it, and sometimes we learn to even like it. All of this becomes more problematic as humans think about God, since often they invent gods or think of God as more or less larger human beings, larger representations of themselves. The Greco-Roman world had a pantheon of gods that were changeable, fickle, and unreliable. The story of Athena is that she didn't exist, but instead sprung fully formed from the forehead of Zeus. An interesting way to come into existence. Dionysus was the son of Zeus, born to a mortal mother. Zeus accidentally killed her. It's bad when you have gods that do accidents like that. So he sewed the young Dionysus into his thigh, and when the young god emerged, passed him to the care of the Maenads. They were female followers of Dionysus, and they got their name because they tended toward frenzy in their worship. Through dance and intoxication. Gods were described as fighting among themselves. Zeus, for example, was with the assistance of Hades and Poseidon, overthrew his father, Cronus, king of the Titans. Modern-day Mormonism teaches that there is an endless regression of gods backwards, that were once humans who became gods, and will continue to do so for infinity into the future. Their gods are changeable. Fortunately, none of these are the true gods. And I am glad of that. But what about change and the God of Scripture and Revelation? How do we address that? Well, God has this interesting statement. It immediately came to mind when I heard, when Dan asked me if I would speak, and it was this. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed. That's a really interesting passage. Because I don't change, you are not consumed. God isn't fickle. He doesn't change his mind. And more than that, he doesn't change his nature or character. He is unchanging. There's a context to this. Malachi was written probably between 500 and 400 BC under Haggai and Zechariah. The temple had been completed probably around 516 BC. But to the disillusionment of the nation of Israel, the Messianic era didn't happen. Gosh, I'm waiting for the end times. Aren't you waiting for the end times? Ah, we're in them right now, and you have said that in the past, and that's unchanging, isn't it?
Correct.
We are in the end times.
Actually, it's not unchanging, because the end times are going to end.
And then that would be a change.
Correct.
Okay, so the end times are going to end, and that'll be a change. Israel was looking for the Messianic kingdom to come, and it didn't arrive with the completion of the temple. So they, priesthood became corrupt. We've never seen pastors and clergy become corrupt, have we? Worship had become routine. We've never really settled into routine in churches with worship. Or maybe we have. Divorce had become commonplace. Financial support of God's word was waning. And Malachi, we see two things which would fall into categories of what I would call the essential of the faith. And they occur in three passages here. The nature of God and the nature of man. Both come out in here. Now, you might know from the times you've heard me speak, these are big themes of mine. What are the essentials of the faith? And Dan and I talked about this before I spoke. Because at Wonder Lake Bible Church, those aren't changing. He already mentioned that this morning. Those are what we believe. Those are core doctrines from Scripture. We are not changing them. We might change delivery. We might change how we function together as a body. But we do not change the essential doctrines of the faith. The two are the nature of God, the nature of man. God spoke through Malachi and describes human nature as being corrupt. In the passage leading up to verse 6, God outlines coming judgment against those who are operating within the community of faith. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. It will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. That's 3:5. In 3:7, he says, from the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. In this passage, we see a contrast between human nature and God's nature. As humans turn from God, we disconnect from the Word of God and the practices we find in His Word. For me and others in the crybaby boomer generation, my age, we have watched society shift from a Judeo-Christian worldview to a pagan worldview in the course of 60 or so years. It has been kind of painful. I grew up as an atheist. I've mentioned this before. Or my father was an atheist and I adopted his beliefs. But even in that household, there were certain values and morals that we held to be true. That came from a Judeo-Christian worldview. But humans are fickle, and the more they disconnect from God's word and disconnect from God's people, the more they start changing their way of thinking and behavior. That's a problem. And a problem that God is addressing with the nation of Israel because they had done really the same thing. It doesn't change for the better. It only changes for the worse. So God says in verse 7 this, "The Lord does not change. Therefore you, children of Jacob, are not consumed." What does he mean? Well, God is unchanging. The word we use to describe that is this, immutable. It's a really cool word. I like it. It means unchanging over time or unable to be changed. God made a unilateral covenant with Abraham and his physical descendants. Even though they often changed, and they often did change, that's why we have such a record of the family of faith through the Old Testament, as God deals with the nation of Israel who continually abandoned God's teaching, continually embraced false teaching, and he continually sent judges and prophets and others to correct them and call them back. But he didn't destroy them. Why? Because they made a unilateral covenant with Abraham and his physical descendants. God is and always will be unchanging and will keep his covenant. The Apostle Paul reaffirms this about 4.5 centuries later in Romans 11. He writes an interesting statement. Israel is currently in unbelief. He's making that whole case. And then he says that they are beloved for the sakes of their fathers, but that would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he's referring to. And you can almost hear the faint sound of Malachi in Romans 11, 29. He says, "The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." Now, I'm going to be politically incorrect here. There's a term that we used when I was young called "God is not an Indian giver." It's not meant as a racial slur. It's just meant to communicate that God doesn't make a commitment and then renege on it. He is unchanging. His word is unchanging. And if he makes a covenant, he will keep it in spite of you, not because of you, because he is unchanging. Jesus, we find out, is unchanging. In Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that? Because Jesus is fully human, but guess what? He is also fully God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his word is immutable. What does immutable mean? Unchanging. His word is immutable. How do we know that? Well, because the unchanging God tells us that. A voice says, "Cry," and I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." It doesn't change. It stands. We can be assured that it will stand. That's really important to me, someone who resists change. I don't like change. Because I want to know that there's one I can rely on all the time. I want to be reliable, but I'm not. I forget things. I make mistakes. I would be, you know, like the God who accidentally killed his wife. Because I'm prone to accidents. You don't have to worry. It would be an accident. I make commitments that I intend to keep and then discover later that I can't because there's something else I didn't know that interferes with my ability to keep my word. I want to keep my word. And so these days I am more prone to say, I am going to try to do that. I commit to attempting to do that. I almost never say, I will do that, unless you catch me in the act of already doing it. Because things can change. And I hate change, but they do. They creep up on me. But God is unchanging. God's word is unchanging. Because God's word is unchanging, he made a commitment to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because of that commitment, he said, I'm not going to destroy the house of Israel, even though they deserve it. Why? Because I don't change. God is unchanging. God's word is unchanging. Man is sinful. Did you ever notice that? Man is sinful. They behave badly. Sometimes it's difficult when you hear some of the things going on, you watch newspaper reports and listen to different people cry and wonder why people do evil things. And it is difficult sometimes to watch how humans treat one another. But I have an answer for that. Because men are sinful by nature and by choice. We do bad things. We make bad decisions. We treat each other badly. We shouldn't do that, but we do. Why? Because we're selfish and we're self-centered. And God, on the other hand, is not. He is selfless and sacrificed his son in our place to buy us salvation, which is helpful because God doesn't change. That means if he guaranteed salvation, we will have it. He does do something else, though, which we don't like. He changes us. Once you become a believer and you are born again, Paul writes that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new ones have come. You are changed and changing. You're changed and changing. It happened when you were born again, and it continues to happen. How do we know that? As the same apostle wrote in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will, not may, not might, not probably, will bring it to completion as the day of Jesus Christ. When my kids were young, we would have to assist them in understanding the need to clean their rooms. My daughter especially, I love my daughter. But she didn't like putting stuff away. And Joy would occasionally have to go in and do something she called Hurricane Betty, which meant everything now put away was in the middle of the floor. Now she was in there to clean it up, and she had to spend whatever amount of time she had to do that, because she needed to be. And I would have to tell her, Jennifer, I love you. I'm your father. I have to tell you, though, you're going to do this. You can do it easy, or you can do it hard. But rest assured, you're going to do it. When I think about this passage, that's what I think of. And I tell disciples, those who I'm training and discipling, going through the Word of God with, that yes, they were in cults, yes, they were in false religious groups, maybe they were in abusive churches, but as they come to understand God, they need to understand something about this unchangeable God, this immutable God, this one who you can depend on completely, is he's going to change you, and you can depend on that. I have to carefully explain that the salvation he provided was so costly that we are unable to pay it. The wall separating us was so high we can't get over it. It's so deep we can't get under it. It's so long we can't get around it. It's so thick we can't get through it. And his son came and died in our place and provided a doorway through to him. Now that he's secured salvation, he will change us. He will transform us into the image of his son. He is sanctifying us. We are new creations. He began a good work and will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. And you have two choices. You can do it easy, or you can do it hard. But rest assured, you're going to do it. And the reason we're going to do that is because God is unchanging. And he said he's going to do it, and he's going to do it. Now with that, I have to say we're starting a new year. I'm excited about the new year, I think. I don't know what changes is going to come, so it makes me a little nervous. But I know that God, who is in control of all of this, is the center of the story. I'm not. He is the center of the salvation story. I'm not. He is the center of the sanctification story. I'm not. I'm glad because he's going to do all that needs to be done. I just need to be ready to go along for the ride. Yes, we're missionaries to cults and non-religious movements. I get to hang out with non-believers all the time. And I get to talk with them in ways that many of you may not ever experience. But I have to always remember that I'm serving an unchanging God who died for them like he died for me, to share the gospel with them that they might come to believe, so that he might change them, even if they don't want to. So, we're looking forward to seeing what's going to happen this next year. I'm excited about the change in the kitchen, I guess. I mean, I'm actually not. It doesn't affect me, but I know some people are.
Yes, we are.
Mostly, I thank Wonder Lake Bible Church for being a support to Midwest Christian Outreach and our missionary efforts and endeavors, for those who pray for us, for those who support us financially, and for Pastor Dan, who has become not only a good friend, but a mentor that is willing to take me to task if I'm off base, and sometimes remind me that I do need to change, even if I don't like it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your unchanging character. We thank you for your working to change us, even though we might resist it. For the reminders on a regular basis that you are the center of the story of Scripture, and I am not. That you are not simply a supporting actor, but you are the main character that works out salvation, works out sanctification, who without you, the universe would just shatter into non-existence, but by the word of your power, you hold it all together. And because you are unchanging, we have confidence that we will be able to wake up tomorrow with the sun shining or rain or whatever the weather does, but that all of that is in your control. Lord, we pray together for our nation as well. For even though you are unchanging, our nation is changing, and we ask, Lord, that you would call it back to repentance, to your word and to your truth. We pray all of this in Christ's name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.